It is a joy to be in this place with you this evening. We've been waiting for this time to be with you, and it overflows in my heart this evening as your pastor to stand and to preach my first Christmas sermon to you. And it's really not a sermon because we have a full evening, so it's a homily. I got the short end of the stick, but that's okay because you know well the story. And you know what it means for you. So I invite you, if you will, to join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Your greatest showing of your love to your people. The most your heart could give us. And now may the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of each of our hearts be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Well, here we are. The treasures from under the tree will soon be unwrapped, and the love by which each one was given will be placed deep in our hearts, hopefully to last longer than the gifts do. To last maybe a year or longer, a treasure to hold. It's Christmas, and we in the faith believe that hope, peace, joy, and love now come flooding into our lives in grand proportions tonight. We are blessed above all people. We have a treasure that cannot be stolen or taken away from us tonight. We have a gift of a truly wonderful life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God gave us the gift of life tonight because God has loved us from the very first verse of Genesis to this very moment of time where you and I are this evening, with all the things we've got going on in our lives right now. God gave us the gift of life because God longs to provide for each of his beloved children a wonderful life that is full of hope, that we experience true peace, that we bubble over with joy, and that we know we are loved tonight. The gift of a wonderful life is a treasure no matter what happens. Whether there are bank examiners in your life coming to balance out the cash box, which in our day would be people judging you for who you are and what you wear and how you look and where you're from. Whether they're police warrants, as in the movie, that have been applied for you to be arrested, or as we would say in our day, religious folks seeing what laws you and I have broken and giving us a list and holding us in judgment. Because the bad press that George got from the bank examiners and the police would make people think twice about him. But for us, it's the gossip that people like to spread about you and me and people who don't even know us. But they love to tell the tales of things they think they know about. Enemies who come into our sphere and tell us life isn't worth living. But I tell you tonight, it's a wonderful life. And it is worth living each and every day because God loves you so much. My grandmother, Edna Stace, had been a widow since the late 40s. She lived in the same town all her life. She lived in the same house she and her late husband had bought on Main Street in Scottsburg, Indiana, for as long as I knew anything. She walked everywhere. Grandma never learned to drive. She walked to the store. She would walk to the church. She would walk to her friend's house. She only had her Social Security, and that was really my grandfather's Social Security, because according to the world, she never worked a day in her life, taking care of him and three boys. But in 1978, when I graduated from high school, Grandma came to Florida to be with us and to celebrate that moment. She deserved a lot. She sat in football stadium bleachers, an 83-year-old woman, and didn't say a bad word about it. She waited through 1,004 graduates and came home with us to celebrate at a party that was being thrown in my honor. Lots of laughing, lot of eating, lots of friends, young, and a few people from church who had been pouring into my life as a youth. But she slipped me a card and squeezed my hand, and I went to the back of the room and opened the card, and there inside the card she had written how proud she was of me, and there was a $5 bill. I went to the bathroom and cried my eyes out. She didn't have $5, but she gave it to me, the greatest gift she could. But she'd already done that by telling me how proud she was and accepting me into this family as an adopted child. The one who really showed the love in that family to me. When God sends Jesus Christ to be born in Bethlehem, in a cave that is surrounded by the stinkiest of animals, the filthiest of circumstances, the hardest places of all time, you can begin to understand that life can only be treasured now from the bottom up. It can only get better from here on out for those who are a treasure to Almighty God and those who treasure Jesus Christ in his heart. He gave us all he had. By George, it's a miracle. As Mary said, it is a miracle, and it's something to be treasured forever, beginning tonight in this place around this table. Jesus' life was and is a gift to be treasured for all people at all times and in all places. Our lives, though, then become a gift to be treasured and used by the Christ child for his glory to be given to the world. We are the miracles of Christmas for somebody else tonight, my friends. Unlike the little drummer boy who had nothing to give but his drum solo, which might not have been the thing Mary wanted just after giving birth and getting Jesus to sleep, but we have nothing either. Nothing but our hearts to give God tonight. Surprise, that's all he wants. That's all Jesus wants and treasures is your heart. That is the gift that will keep on giving to the world, from him to us to them, in a miraculous way. I invite you to make that one more gift this evening, the gift of you tonight, and the life will become one of treasure indeed, a wonderful life, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.